hold on. Dude, I fucked. Hold on one second. I fucked everything up when I was working on this.
You're good.
There we go. All right. Attempt number two. Hello, hello, and welcome back to another Bear Necessities podcast. You're always authentic and readily ridiculed Chicago Bears podcast. Today, I'm with my gracious co-host, Reese. Reese, man, how are you feeling this week?
Doing pretty good. Yeah. Definitely getting close to the draft, you know, a couple weeks out, removed from the start of free agency. So definitely in the thick of the off season. And I feel like it all kind of crescendos up into the draft here. And then it gets a little bit more boring for a little while, but you know, that's how it goes. You gotta wait for training camp, you know, mini camp and OTAs don't quite do it for me. You know, I gotta see the whole team out there all together running some actual team drills. And, then I'll be fully excited. Always stoked for football season, you know, but, looking forward to the draft. And, you know, I don't think the first overall pick is much of a mystery.
Not anymore.
Yeah.
Not after this media tour that the Bears, I think the NFL forgot to send the notice to the Bears that you're supposed to pretend like you don't know who you're drafting, first overall. But, and you know, they're doing their part. They're taking it in. They're taking their time, but it's just interesting how it's completely switched since we traded Justin Fields, the way that they talk. I mean, it's not like they kind of were issuing us in, on that, the fact that they could trade Justin Fields and draft a quarterback. But now, I mean, they're just all out complimenting Caleb Williams. They're at Keenan Allen's at his pro day, which I guess apparently Ryan Poles didn't know about. Keenan Allen's at the pro day. They've mentioned Caleb Williams by name like countless times and haven't mentioned a single other prospect by name in any of their interviews. Ryan Poles isn't even going to UNC's pro day. I mean, I know they're going to the LSU pro day, but you know, that might not even be for a quarterback there. I'm happy that it's finally changed, because I will say a part of me was deathly afraid they would draft the wrong quarterback and try to, you know, in typical Bears fashion, right, pass up on the next Patrick Mahomes for the number 10 from UNC or something like that. Throwback to Mitch Trubisky, but it seems like they're on the right path. It seems like everyone's aligned, and I know they're going to have their visit, but ultimately, I mean, it's, to me, it's all but done. That draft pick is essentially in.
Yeah. I do hate that next Patrick Mahomes label. I mean, he's his own player, you know, and who knows, I think in the situation that he's coming in with the Bears, maybe he develops to be into someone even better. I think that obviously the percent chances of that happening or to have the individual or team success, that's an extremely high bar to reach. So I never put that on him. But, you know, I'm not going to act like he doesn't have the potential to hit that level or even surpass it. You know, there's a lot of even smaller factors that kind of play into how that can all work out. But I think, you know, needless to say, if Caleb Williams comes in, ends up playing like a top 10 quarterback in the league, not only, and this was something, a point that was made on the Pat McAfee show as well, actually, I think later on after Ryan Poles had left, is that even if he's a top 10 quarterback in the league, he's the best quarterback in franchise history, obviously.
Yeah.
And he'll shatter the records. And also for, you know, kind of how this team is projecting, that's what they need, is someone that can play at that level. They don't necessarily need the next Patrick Mahomes. Of course, that would be great. But, I think it's a very exciting time. I think, you know, some of the people that were more on the Fields boat, besides the extremists, have kind of been able to.
The radicals.
Exactly.
They fully radicalized. I exactly, Reese. I also found it funny that all of a sudden, Like, the main bar throughout this entire thing is, like, is Caleb better than Fields? That should be the only question you should ask yourself. I think most people agree yes, including, you know, at this point, it's undeniable. I feel like that the NFL is valuing Caleb Williams much higher than they valued Justin Fields, whether you like it or not. But I also find it funny that all of a sudden after Justin was traded, the bar went from being better than Justin Fields year one to the best rookie quarterback season of all time in year one. It's like, dude, like, I mean, thinking really hard about the numbers here, Justin Fields, 16 touchdowns, 9 interceptions, 2,500 yards in his third year. I feel pretty safe to say that Caleb Williams will probably beat that in year one. With the supporting cast around him. Maybe not. You know, rookie years are weird. They're not all, they don't always go as planned. There's a lot of unforeseen things that could happen. But then to take it to the next level, which is like, oh, it's the best rookie quarterback season we've ever seen, then you're talking about Caleb Williams walking in and setting a record that no one in this Bears franchise has ever done in year one. I don't think that's realistic either.
Yeah, I mean, if he broke over 4,000 yards, no quarterback, bar rookie, veteran, whatever,
yeah,
has done that ever in a season. So certainly to get to that level of being the best rookie season would instantly set himself in the Bears record books.
Yeah, and I don't mean to be a pessimist here also, but I think people forget that when you have when a player throws for 4,000 yards, those 4,000 yards have to be distributed amongst a wide range of targets. You know, even if DJ Moore and Keenan Allen both put up 1,200 yards, again, that's 2,400 yards. We still need an extra 1,600. Could Kmet and Everett get another 1,000? Yeah, sure. But then we still need an extra 600. And I got to be honest right now, man. Outside of those players, I don't know who's making up these other 600 yards. Like, I don't think Tyler Scott's going to be making that up. I don't think DeAndre Swift is going to be catching 600 yards. I don't know.
Or 300 from Swift. Maybe more than that if he has a fantastic season. I think Tyler Scott can step up. I think that it was weird because Darnell Mooney had such a weird season last year that at times it felt like, you know, Scott was that second option that really wasn't a second option at times.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting. Of course, this is one of the most stacked wide receiver drafts that we've seen, or maybe even all time, but you know, that we've seen in a long while. So we'll certainly have the opportunity to add to that. As far as free agents that are still out there too, I know that we'll hit on that as well, Austin, later on. But there's a couple names out there that you could add in that could also be complimentary pieces. You know, no one that I'm overly in love with, and I'm not going to be the type that's vouching for the Bears to go out there and get Odell.
OBJ.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. But, you know, there's ways for that to be filled. You know, I think that they will get some help out of the backfield with pass catching. Certainly DJ Moore and Keenan Allen are going to hold up the majority of that. Yeah, I mean, and to the point that you made about Everett and Kmet, I think they could get close to 1,000. You know, certainly we've seen, you know, Kmet put up some pretty good numbers, and I think that Everett probably would be able to fill that gap to 1,000. Yeah. And if it's a really good year, then they surpass it. But
yeah,
we'll have to see. We'll have to see how everything kind of implements, everything installs with this offense too. It's really easy at this time of year to put some pretty lofty number projections on, and then, you know, you get through the first few games of the season, you're like, I don't know how X is gonna hit this number.
Yeah.
So,
well, it's difficult. I think people, even with Caleb, okay, again, huge Caleb fan, huge USC fan, which also adds a level of bias into this. But I've seen every single snap of Caleb Williams, like, probably at least 5 times. Every single one of his snaps. I think that Caleb is going to be a fantastic NFL quarterback. However, that being said, there are areas of his game where he needs to grow. And, like, I think he will. I'm just going to warn Bears fans. He probably will fumble the ball a lot his rookie year. Okay. He probably will let up a few interceptions that he shouldn't have let up. I mean, I just think this is kind of normal stuff. So let's, sure, I think Caleb's going to be a great rookie quarterback, but even the greatest of the greats, their rookie seasons don't always go to plan. You know, for instance, Patrick Mahomes didn't even play in his rookie year. You know, Josh Allen obviously didn't have a great rookie season. A lot of these quarterbacks, they take a few years to develop to really get their, you know, skates under them. I think Caleb Williams will be on an accelerated track, and I think it'll be a level of quarterback play that us Bears fans are not accustomed to. But it just takes so many things to go right to have the best season as a, you know, rookie ever. I just don't want to put that expectation on him. I also don't even want to put the expectation that he needs to start every single game, even though it's very clear to me that's the plan, that right. He's going to start week one.
Yeah.
Which I actually appreciate.
Yeah, perhaps it's a, and I have a point to build on there, but perhaps it's a good time as I need to kind of lay out to everybody what we'll be going over. So Austin and I are going to do our mock drafts, kind of go over some of that, go out the picks, any potential trades that we did, overall thoughts. I mean, you know, I think this is where we usually deliver most years is we, you know, I take pride in how we mock draft Austin. I take a lot of pride in that.
Oh, yeah.
And then I don't know how many you put together, Austin. I have a few free agents that post-draft are, you know, potentially still available that the Bears could look to add to kind of fill some of those gaps that may be outstanding after the draft or, you know, just some places you need to add some additional depth. I don't know about you. I think it's tough to project, like, UDFAs, so I didn't really –
yeah,
I didn't get into that too much because, you know, that line between even like a late sixth, but like a seventh round pick and a UDFA, undrafted free agents, that can be a really blurry line. Sometimes some players that get drafted in the seventh or players that don't have already been contacted by teams about potentially signing once the draft concludes. So there's just a lot of moving parts there. And obviously players that teams want as well, and there's been great stories, the players that just become good contributors, but also stars from being an undrafted free agent. So they are definitely important, but it's a hard thing to project.
Oh yeah. I mean, even some of these players that you're like, could they be a fifth round pick will fall out. I mean, there's always, I remember Justin Ross just a few years ago. I don't know. I know that he had some flashes in the pan in Kansas City. I think he might've gotten injured again this previous year. But you know, he was someone that people were pegging all the way up until like the third round that almost fell out. And I think what people forget is that certain players that you think will go in the first round will completely fall out. And certain players that you think are like third round picks will go in the first round. I remember when Emmanuel Forbes was picked over Christian Gonzalez, and I was like, dude, what the hell are they doing? I mean, even Christian Gonzalez, he was mocked, you know, top 10 pretty regularly. I mean, people were even saying the Bears should consider taking him with their top pick last year. And, you know, I thought Gonzalez looked good, obviously raw, but he had a great rookie year, and he ended up going to the Patriots at like 20 or something like that. It was pretty ridiculous. And then you see Jack Campbell go, what do you go, 18 or something, which I thought he was like a mid-second round pick.
I thought he went in the second round.
No, Jack Campbell was – the Lions had two first-round picks last year, and they drafted a running back and an inside linebacker. And that inside linebacker was Jack Campbell. You're thinking of Laporta. Laporta went in the second round for the Lions.
Okay, but I will say, too, can't act like it was the 18th pick. You're right. We can't act like that wasn't a good draft for the Lions, though. And even I vouched for it after the fact, and I was like, people are going to hate where they pick these players, but it's going to end up being that they pick good players. And I mean,
Laporta and Branch are arguably their second round picks were better than their first round picks.
No, Gibbs was a good ad though. Like, come on.
Yeah. But at 12, I don't know, man.
At some point, you know, you want your guy. I mean, it's a bit ridiculous, but I mean, you like it, you take it. I mean, ultimately, if they won a Super Bowl and, you know, Jahmyr Gibbs went off or was crucial in a playoff run, people wouldn't care where he's drafted. You know, same for LaPorta, Jack Campbell, or Branch even. It doesn't matter. Like, you get to a certain point in the league where the draft, unless you're Amon-Ra St. Brown, like, you stop caring about the draft position.
To me, it was just like such a, like, the fact that they traded down, they didn't get Jalen Carter. Like, there was just so much there that I was just like, dude, you started off with a top 10 pick and then another mid round. Like, for instance, if the Bears came out of this draft and drafted with their first four picks an inside linebacker, a running back, and a tight end and a free safety, I'd be a little pissed because I'd be like, those are like some of the least impactful positions nowadays.
That's fair. Yeah.
But I do like Gibbs. You're right on that. Like, they're all good players. You're right on that. They hit on all of them.
Yeah. Man, you're talking about inside linebacker and the, you know, all credit to Ryan Poles and what he's created, but his biggest free agent signing ever is really an inside linebacker.
Tremaine Edmonds.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
arguably what do you think of Tremaine Edmonds? I know it's a little tangent. I feel like he's gotten a lot of hate this offseason.
Yeah.
I think he's someone that's... Yeah.
I don't think it's warranted hate. I think that they look at the contract. The contract sways people's opinions, you know?
Yeah.
If you weren't looking at the contract, I think you'd say that he definitely plays his role. And I think that he'll be even better this coming year. And the flashes that he had were really good. Like, he had a couple of games last year where he was dominant. So it's just going to be a matter of stretching that out over a few games. And regardless or not, like, his floor on game day is still pretty high. Like, you're not going to get a bad performance from Tremaine Edmonds. It's just about getting more of those great performances, I think, to maybe justify that cap number in some people's heads. But, you know, this is the thing with free agency, and this is why people get frustrated with Ryan Poles. Like, you're going to overspend in free agency. It's tough not to overspend.
Yeah. Yeah, Christian Wilkins, like $30 million a year almost. I mean, yeah, it's hard to... And I think that move also paired with, like, the Roquan Smith move. So, like, when you actually, like, think through it, like, the fact that we essentially traded Roquan for Tyreek Stevenson, a later pick, and then also getting Tremaine Edmonds and... why am I blank? TJ Edwards under contract. I mean, you know, it works out in the end. I think that... Tremaine Edmonds, will he get a second contract or will he even finish this contract with the Bears? I don't know. We're going to have to see on that one. But I do think he's a good player. Like, I think he also adds a lot just on, like, the plays you don't see. You know, he's a good coverage linebacker.
Yeah. I mean,
so
it, you know, these days, just less emphasis is put on that linebacker position, which I understand, especially with, I mean, we can even, you know, I don't want to build out too much before we do the mock draft, but there were some rule changes as well.
Edgar and Cooper, first overall.
There were some rule changes as well that were just passed through. The kickoff rule change to move towards the XFL system, or like the XFL kickoff. And then also to kind of go along with the point I was making about defense, where it's just the priorities are shifting every offseason. It's the banning of the hip drop tackle, I don't particularly agree with. Like, I definitely do believe in player safety, so I don't want that to really cloud anything I'm about to say. But, you know, I'm a defensive guy. I like watching the defensive side of the football, and it's just that's so rapidly changed in the NFL, and it just looks different every year. And I think that the disadvantage of being put at is crazy, and actually too, the scoring has dropped the past 4 years, so I think it's really part an emphasis to not only protect the star offensive players, but, you know, I think the league does want to see that change a little bit, watch the scoring go up more, because that's more of what the casual fan wants, is they want to see the scoring. So I think that that's what drives that. We could always dive more into that, but I'm not super interested in tearing up rule changes. I mean, it's not really the most entertaining thing.
It is what it is. this is what we'll know for sure by week six. We'll be pissed off about it because they're going to make a huge emphasis in the beginning of the season like they always do. I think the issue for me is it's the line between what a hip drop tackle is and what a hip drop tackle is not is very ambiguous. I think it's going to lead to a lot of questionable calls. And it's almost like when they started instituting the more roughing the passer calls. And like there was that one season, I think it was like 2018, 2019, just a horrible, horrible, you know, time where games were being lost and won by these calls. Yeah. Hopefully that's not the case with this, but it's just hard. I don't know. For me, it's hard to conceptualize. I think it could be one of these things where like they really play it out in the beginning, but then they stop calling it later in the season.
And then they'll call one in some crucial moment of a playoff game and it won't make any sense.
Yeah. And then they'll call one on Jaquan Brisker when we're against the Packers. And yeah. All right. But let's get into the mock draft. I think that we've seasoned our fans enough and we've built up enough anticipation.
Yes.
You know what? I think that it's going to be hard to how should we do this? Should we do you say yours, I say mine for the first round, or maybe we should do that.
Let me see here real quick. Or is this on the fly?
Cuz I have some trades.
I have trades too. Let me see. How many draft picks in total do you have?
I have quite a few, to be honest. Jesus. I traded back. I think what we should do one round each. So we'll start with the I know you guys are so professional, right? We figure this out on the podcast, but let's just go with that.
We lead I'll busy let you lives. Start. Okay. Well, round one pick.
Yeah,
one.
Being with all of our time being volunteer firefighters and male models, it really gets into and going to AlphaCon early. Keep going. Both first round picks. Let's go, Reese.
Both first round picks. So round one, pick one, Caleb Williams, USC. Need I say anymore? I think we built them up. You know, regular listeners of this podcast will know how we feel about them. Kind of spanning back, you know, we've been talking about this since middle of the 2023 season. So don't think I have to expand on that too much. Okay, I did make a trade at pick nine, Austin.
Okay.
I did trade with the New Orleans Saints, and this was a incoming trade to me, not one that I proposed.
Yeah.
I decided to accept it. And I got round one pick 14 and round two pick 13 from the New Orleans Saints. I know that Ryan Poles said that he doesn't
likely going up for a quarterback there, you'd think.
It's possible. I should pay more attention as to what quarterbacks were left on the board there. But I know Ryan Poles said that he doesn't worry too much about not having a lot of draft capital, especially with the draft capital that they had over the past couple of drafts. But I did still feel like this is at least a likely scenario for a trade down. I do think that there are some situations where maybe I'd consider staying at nine based on who's available for sure. I think Turner, the edge from Alabama, certainly one that I consider staying there for if he's still available. I think Malik Nabers, certainly would consider drafting him at nine as well. But with round one, pick 14, I took offensive tackle J.C. Latham from Alabama.
Very nice. Very nice.
I couldn't really not pick him. There also was Brian Thomas Jr. available there. I had to scratch my head a little bit. But I'm a big fan of J.C. Latham. I think you can keep him at tackle. I know, Austin, you even brought the fact of possibly pushing him to guard. But really just an elite athlete along wherever you can put him on the offensive line that could certainly be tackle. And maybe he's someone that looks to take that job from Braxton Jones. But I really like him. I think he's a can't-miss prospect at that position in the draft. And I think, you know, for a Bears offensive line that still needs a little bit of reinforcements, some more additions, I'd certainly welcome him.
Yeah, absolutely. I cannot say enough good things about J.C. Latham. He is one of my favorite players in the draft for sure. weirdly falling. I feel like he's one of those prospects where now people are getting a little bit fatigued with like evaluating him. They know he's good, but they're like, is he a tackle? He could definitely be a right tackle in a lot of schemes, but there's other, you know, zone blocking schemes that may be tempted to, he might fit the profile more of a guard for them. What I like about him is just you bring him in and he could start at like four of the offensive line spots, everything but center, just immediately. And so having a player like that, you know, drafting a guard with a top pick is, you know, I know it's 14 is, you know, some people go against that, but really Latham, I think he's an all pro guard, to be honest, like immediately. I think he's an all pro guard, like even in his rookie season. I think he's that good of a player. I think he's the best offensive lineman in this class. At guard, I think he'd be the best offensive lineman in this class. I think, you know, at tackle, when you place him in that tackle category, you have to bring in some other players, but there's just no one as physically dominant as J.C. Latham. Like even like, you know, Joe Alt, I like him. And I think that he'd be a good pickup, but he's certainly not a big power guy. He's more of a finesse left tackle. And I think that, you know, that fits very well in some zone schemes, and that would be a good fit for the Bears. Olu Fashanu, I like him a lot. Weirdly, I was higher on him last year than I am this year. He would have probably been my first overall tackle in year one. Now, I feel like certain games he showed some weaknesses. He just looks very mechanical, whereas I feel like J.C. Latham looks just like completely natural. Like, I just think his physical traits are unstoppable, and he's so good against the bull rush too. Like, as soon as he gets his hands on you, you're screwed.
You could argue too that Olu had his best tape this year too, which is kind of crazy.
I feel like the mystique of him having less tape, like you value the athlete more. I feel like the more tape almost hurt him. He got absolutely fucked up by JT Tuil. I don't even know how to say his
JTT
last name.
I don't know how to say it.
Yeah, he got fucked up by him in that Ohio State game, and that, man, it scares me a little bit with him. Even though he's like projecting him out, he's a stud athletically. Like, he shows that he can do it at times, but he just doesn't look as natural to me on that offensive line as J.C. Latham. So for me, I did Caleb first overall. I'm not going to really get into that. We've talked about Caleb pretty much since the middle of the season this past year. He's going to be a great player. I actually did a double trade down. Oh, so I got an offer from the Raiders to move up to draft their quarterback. And I got 13 and then their round two pick. And then I trade down again with the Eagles to go all the way down to 22, and I got a second and a fourth from that too, which, you know, on it, I'm usually very skeptical with trades on some of these simulators, but to be honest, when you think about it, going down 13 spots in the draft, in the first round, that's typically first round pick compensation, so two twos and a four is probably pretty fair value.
Seems relative, you know, at least in the ballpark. Yeah,
and the reason why the Eagles went up is because by the time I got to, the simulator draft made an Eagles dream scenario, in my opinion. But when it got to the Raiders pick, Brock Bowers was still on the board. So the Eagles move up to draft Bowers. Nice. I just with that signing of Gerald Everett, I couldn't do Bowers. I got to be completely honest. Edge rushers on my board at nine.
Wow. Okay.
I don't know, man. I struggle with this edge class. This is like one of the more difficult edge classes to parse through. I think it's better than last year, but I'm just not crazy about anyone, to be completely honest. And like, I'm a little, you know, with Laiatu Latu, you know, I like him. I don't love him. I think he's going to be, I would question picking him at nine because I don't know how high his ceiling is. I think he's going to be instantly very good. Jared Verse, similar situation. I don't know how good he's going to be. Both these guys are older prospects, which make it hard to parse through. Latu also has some pretty significant medical concerns. And I also worry a little bit with Latu that maybe the physicality isn't there. Whereas with Jared Verse, I feel like he's also going to be, like, I have Verse above Latu. I got to be completely honest. And Dallas Turner, he is very, very good, but he's just not as strong as I'd like him to be. So, like, I'd really be betting on the player development there. I feel like if you're going to draft one of them, you got to go Turner or Verse.
I think, but I don't Turner know. Turner is the only one I could justify taking at 9. I'd say that.
Yeah. And, like, for me, I was just like, you know what? Trading back, getting some additional draft capital, I think it's gonna make sense. So I traded back all the way to 22, and I also took J.C. Latham. I don't think I thought that would honestly surprise. I thought that was gonna be a controversial opinion coming on and doing that. I view him as a guard, so I think I'm just salivating over this. You know, this is the reason why I think it works so good. This is why he is the perfect fit for this team. You put him at guard. Okay. So, like, here, you draft Joe Alt. He can't play guard. He has to play left tackle for you. So, you need to trade away Braxton Jones. I've been impressed enough with Braxton Jones, and, like, statistically, he's really good. And I feel like he could lock down that area. I also think that some, to a different level, but I don't know. I think that some of Joe Alt's weaknesses are all, sorry, some of Braxton Jones' weaknesses are also apparent in Joe Alt. I think Joe Alt, because he is such a finesse pass protector. Thank you. I think that he's not as bad, but he still can struggle with bull rush. He's much better of a finesse pass protector than someone like a Braxton Jones is. So I don't know. Why don't you just throw in J.C. Latham, play him at guard, and keep Darnell Wright at right tackle, and then see how it is when you actually need to give Braxton Jones a contract. Then you can make that change. Then maybe you shift Darnell Wright to left tackle, even though I don't really think he's a left tackle, or put J.C. Latham at left tackle if he's progressing well. I mean, it's an ideal situation. Then you can put Tevin at right guard. Oh, yeah, my God. This offensive line would be immediately really good.
I'd love to get back to the Tev at right guard with Darnell Wright at right tackle.
Yeah,
I think that's a really powerful side of the line. And then, man, I think if you're talking about J.C. Latham on the left-hand side with Braxton Jones, if he ends up playing guard, or, you know, even too, like, you know, hopefully it doesn't happen, but if Braxton Jones were to go down, then you have someone that's capable of playing that left tackle there. If you weren't comfortable, you could try moving Darnell Wright over to left tackle, even though he's the prototypical right tackle. But it gives you options.
It's weird because I feel like the big tackles, like back like 10 years ago, were always the left tackles. I truly feel like nowadays right tackles are just the bigger tackle. And then the left tackles are becoming kind of like Joe Wall, where they're not as strong as, you know, hulking, but they're able to kind of steer guys off, and they're able to make contact early.
Yeah.
You know,
and I think that's become, at least for most coaches, or, you know, they prioritize the ability to at least move that edge rusher away and behind at first, you know, instead of just losing immediately. You can't lose. I think it was just like watching Von Miller cause carnage in like the mid 2010s. You know, people are like, never again. But
they're like, so pretty boring first round, but man. And this is the other thing. I if there's a wide receiver there, you know, I think you have to go with one of those top guys. But I will say, I think that the piece that a lot of people are missing out on this Bears offense potentially is that a lot of the time in Shane Waldron's scheme, there's only two wide receivers on the field. You know, there's the two. He does a lot of two tight end sets, which that one, you know, there's only 11 men allowed on the field. You can't have 12 men, so that one person has to come away. And typically it's the receiver, and that's kind of what led to some concerns with Jackson Smith Njigba, as we heard on the CHGO podcast, not being super happy. So I kind of wonder if it just makes more sense to get a guy that's always going to be on the field than your third wide receiver at the moment.
Yeah, I mean, perhaps. I think that, you know, there's so many great players that the Bears could take that I come draft night, I either in a trade down or even at 9, that I'd still be pretty pleased with. I will say that of the three receivers, if they were to pass on one, and it's funny because I vouch for him, you know, in August or in July of last year as someone that I really like. But to me, Neighbors feels a lot more like the can't-miss guy at 9 than Odunze does to me, personally.
Yeah. Now,
you know, I think Odunze, and that could be a prospect for Teague on my end. You know, the fact that I was already kind of watching what he was doing, and when I saw a lot of the same this year, which was still pretty incredible, I was just kind of like, well, yeah, it's Rome Odunze. You know, like... The game didn't necessarily elevate that much, at least for people that were watching. Like, he accomplished and caught a lot of the same balls that he did in 2022 in Washington. But, yeah, I mean, if they were to pick Odunze, too, I would not be upset. It doesn't really seem... I just don't see it. I don't see it. It's just a feeling that I have. I don't feel like Rome Odunze is going to get picked here anyway.
He's an odd prospect because it's not even that odd because there's a lot of players like this, but he just tests way better than, at least to me, the athlete on the field. He does a lot of good things in terms of just being a natural receiver. I think that his one flaw, like it's his flaw and his best quality, is that there isn't one thing he does like explicitly extremely well, in my opinion. He does everything at a very high level, but it's like when you look at someone like Neighbors, it's the explosiveness, it's the ability to separate. It's, you know, I feel like the physical gifts are a lot more present with Neighbors. And it's like when you all, I don't know. I'm like iffy on Odunze too. I just don't know. I really wonder like 4 years down the line, how big the gap between Odunze and then some of the other receivers that'll probably go at the like top of the second will be, you know?
Yeah.
Is Odunze that dude and way better than, you know, Xavier Legette, A.D. Mitchell, Xavier Worthy, like all these guys? Or is he kind of the one guy where you're like, okay, maybe he was slightly overdrafted compared to some of these other guys? I don't know. For me, we're looking for our third receiver right now. I agree you can never have too many wide receivers, and I know Keenan Allen's on a one-year deal, but I do think that it's a little bit of a hot take, but I do think that it might be a better option to trade back, get an offensive lineman, or even a defensive tackle. There's three defensive tackles I'm extremely high on in this draft. I think the defensive tackle class is way better than the edge class in terms of just, you know, payoff. And also, here's the other thing. I hate to say it, but it's a lot easier to get good wide receivers in any part of round one than it is to get, like, you know, not that there is one, but like your star edge rusher or your star left tackle or your star, you know, whatever.
Right.
Like wide receiver, I mean, you see guys every single year fall and get picked, or even guys that go tail end of two, you know, I don't know.
Yeah.
Just a thought.
No. And it's so stacked this year, too. I think there's a chance that, you know, I mean, it could be Neighbors, or maybe Odunze does take a bit of a tumble and, you know, everyone thought he was a first shot, for sure, surefire top 10 pick. And, you know, maybe he goes in the late teens.
Yeah.
You know.
And Caleb has weapons already. My big concern is that something's going to go wrong with the offensive line again, because that could really kill prospects. Yeah. Look at Bryce Young. I mean, he was completely a product of that awful, awful offensive line that they had with the Panthers. And the funny thing about that is that the Panthers were pretty confident going into that season with that offensive line. You know, they had got him blanking on his – what was the tackle they drafted from – was it NC State?
Yes.
Who kind of sucks. I liked him too, but he kind of sucks now. Maybe he'll turn that around. I don't know. And then my other thing with the edge is like, and I'm pretty confident about the leadership here. Don't force something. Like, don't force it. I really feel like, you know, it is going to be, we probably will start pricing ourselves out of these edge rushers pretty soon. It might be difficult to get the star, you know, that star number one pass rusher in the next, you know, couple years after we get our franchise quarterback. That being said, though, don't force the issue. This is going to be a hot take, but a lot of teams nowadays are going a little bit cheaper at that position than they were 3-4 years ago. Chiefs notably have been just able to find edge rusher support pretty much anywhere with any of the guys they bring in.
It helps when you have a dominant interior defensive line, you know, makes it a lot easier for them.
Yeah. Yep. Exactly. All right, let's do round two.
Yeah. So round two, I traded that pick. I sent the round two pick 13 that I had from the Saints, and I sent that to the LA Rams and got in return round two pick 20 and round three pick 19.
Nice.
Who I picked? Not sure how you'll feel about this one, Austin, but I'm personally a big fan of this player's game.
Can I guess?
Sure.
Is it a wide receiver?
It is not. No.
It's not. Cameron Kitchens?
No, it's interior defensive line.
T'Vondre Sweat?
Yeah, correct. I went for T'Vondre Sweat. Someone, I mean, that's just like, I don't think there's too much explanation for his game. I mean, he is a run stuffer. Yeah. You know, he eats up space. And a little bit of, like, something that's gone away but kind of has come back now in the NFL. Like, as, you know, some of the defensive lines got a little leaner and fast to prioritize pass rush, you know, it's kind of started to bulk up a little bit. And he's someone that can really assist in shutting down the run. I think that the funny thing with me for Sweat is that I feel like his weaknesses are very similar to someone like Jerron Dexter, where like his initial burst is not great. Like, he doesn't have that quick first half step. But also too, definitely is still a great athlete for his size. I mean, he is a large individual. But someone that over his college career kind of steadily got better. Even as a rotational piece in his first couple years of college, still was productive. He's a playmaker. I think that, you know, kind of alluding to the point that I just made too, like having that elite interior defensive line, I think is crucial to stay in the NFL. And I think that even though the Bears did invest somewhat heavily in the draft last year at those positions, picking up Zach Pickens, picking up Jerron Dexter, I think that is still a place where they can still look to add. And, you know, continue to have a good rotation. I think that at least on early downs, I feel like he's a no-brainer to have in there. And, you know, perhaps you can substitute him out if you don't feel like he's going to be productive on the pass rush. But still someone that offensive lines have to account for. So I'd be really happy with it. I liked him a lot. I know, too, he probably benefits a little bit from, I know someone that you're really high on, that also play along on that Texas Byron defensive Murphy. Line. Yeah, Byron Murphy. But I think the tape is great. I really like him as a prospect. Yeah. And I think that this would be a really good value to get him at this pick as well.
Yeah, super dominant. I mean, imposing. The dudes just did not have any idea how to stop this man when he was at Texas, man. I mean, he is what's he playing at? Like, he's playing at a ridiculous weight. I think he's in the, what is he, 430 maybe?
Let's see how he, what he weighed in at the combine. Let's see.
Yeah, let's see.
I'm pulling it up here. It's going a little slow. Let's see. Okay. Combine prospect profile. I'll tell you what, man. There is no page that takes longer to pull up and load than an NFL thing. I swear. Okay. Come on. Okay, anyway, once I have this. I still think that, bro, this is terrible. I'm just gonna look it up on my phone.
Okay. While we try to find that right now, he is just an absolute monster. Okay, I said 430. What was I thinking? 430. He's 362. Okay, that's what Google's saying. Not the combine. 430 is just ridiculous. That's like, that's way too big. That's way too big. I don't know what I was thinking.
Yeah, he weighs like 366 at the combine, 6'4 and a half, 33 and a quarter arm length, and 10 and 1/8 inch hands. Those are some fat hands.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, the burst, I think, is just a product of, like, when you have a player like him, I'm not really looking for burst too much. So with that, then, do you see Jervon as the three tech, or how do you see them that interplaying?
Yeah, I mean, at least in my mind, it's like, figure that out later. I mean, I wouldn't see you picking Devondre Sweat as a three tech. I don't think that works.
Yeah,
I think you can look to move Jervon Dexter to a three tech. You know, worst case, you end up rotating them. I think that's a weird thing that, like, an interesting fear that, at least for me, I don't mind, especially on draft, is like kind of drafting like to like players, or at least players that can play in the same role. Because it's kind of like, well, why are you picking someone up like that if you already have one on? Well, first off, obviously, at the end of it, you know, especially since they have 1 year gap in their contract, you can pick who's the best, but, you know, rotating along the defensive line is something that's probably more crucial right now than it ever has been. And you just watch teams, not exactly that the Eagles have to be the model to build after, because they really had a tragic fall off last year. But the Eagles every year are picking up players to add to that defensive line. I mean, it's like you keep adding at some of these positions. And I feel that way with both of the trenches. Like, it, you know, you can justify to me picking an offensive lineman at any point. You can justify to me picking a defensive lineman at any point. Like, that's where the games are won and lost ultimately. And, you know, having that, honestly, Jim Harbaugh put it a good way too. I love what he said about offensive line. You know, as far as saying that, you know, they're the one position group really that doesn't need to depend on anyone else to be successful, but every other part of the offense depends on them being successful. And he made a little quip about the defensive line saying, well, what about us? And he was like, well, don't you like, you know, that nice 12 play drive where you get to rest and all that? But it's a fair point, you know?
Yeah. I love that he's living in an RV now. Couldn't think of a more, I'm sure that is parked right in, where are they at? They're in, geez, I can't remember what part of LA I can't remember. I'm sure it's parked right outside the Chargers facility.
Yeah, I'm not sure where the facility. I know SoFi is what it's in Inglewood, right?
It's in Inglewood, but they're in Orange County. They're in, I can't, I'm blanking on. Oh, God.
It's not like Baker.
I can't remember. It starts with a C. Oh. It starts with a C. Costa Mesa.
There you go.
Yeah.
Come on, California guy. Sure, former California guy.
You know, yeah. I'm showing up to the facility and trying to find an RV. I got some autographs that need to be signed. that's hilarious. I also saw that Jim Harbaugh, I mean, the NFL is so much better when Jim Harbaugh is back, but I also saw that he was on the same plane as a Michigan recruit.
Yes, that's correct.
And he switched seats so he could sit right next to him and talk about it the whole time. I just imagine this being like a 6 a.m., like, 5-hour flight from, like, New York to L.A.
Yeah.
And then it's like, you're like, really hoping I can get some sleep. And he's like, let me tell you about the offensive line.
So are you attacking? But, are you attacking the day with an enthusiasm unknown to mankind? You know.
Oh man! All right, for my round two. So I had two round two picks. I made a trade for one of them. I actually traded up though. I traded up all the way from 18 with the Commanders to round two pick 4. So 14 slots. And it came at a price too. But I want to know your thoughts on the trade before I tell you the player, because I think a trade around like this size could make sense for adding more flexibility for the Bears. But I actually gave up our round two next year and got back our, so I gave up round two pick 18 and then our future round two pick. And then we received round two pick 4. And then we also got added flexibility by getting round three pick 14. So we trade up in round two and we also get a third round pick. And then they essentially get a second round pick next year.
Mm, okay. I mean, yeah. I think that seems.
You think it's fair, or do you think it's?
No, it's somewhat fair. Yeah, I think that there's a second and a third, and they get the future second. So I'm not sure how that works out on all the scoring tables, but to me, that seems like something that could be executed. You know, or maybe they give you a second.
I was a little,
but I think maybe the third.
Yeah,
is a little
rich. I was a little. Okay, I almost was thinking that it could be too rich for us, considering how high. If like depending on which pick it is, if it's the Panthers pick, they could be getting the same pick back.
Yeah, you can spin it that way. Yeah,
you know, I don't know. I feel like it's a fair trade.
14
maybe.
Spots is a lot, especially in a draft like this where the early second is going to be just about as good as the late first. Well, teams prefer the early second anyway. What am I talking about? Because you get the less contract year. So
very true. Yeah, but I traded up to draft A.D. Mitchell.
Adonai Mitchell. Yeah, I mean, I like that pick a lot. He would certainly, man. I mean, yeah, I think he'd be in my top five receivers for the draft for sure. You know,
I'm surprised he hasn't gotten more first round talk. I mean, before we did the episode, I like went around to like some mock drafts to see like kind of where people were projecting some of these like fringe guys. It was hard for me to like. I was surprised because I saw J.C. Latham a lot lower down, and I saw Adonai Mitchell, like always in the second round. It was really hard for me to find some first rounders, but I saw guys like Xavier Leggett go in the first round in some of these.
I can almost see that just because I feel like he's like such a hot prospect right now. But yeah, Field Yates has been someone that's been pretty high on A.D. Mitchell. I think a little bit like a. Almost like a draft crush for him, to which I say, if your draft crush is like a day one or early two prospect, that's a lame draft crush in my opinion. But just like, yeah. You know, if Adonai Mitchell or like Ladd McConkey is your draft crush, like find someone else, you know,
yeah.
Like in my opinion, they're just solid prospects. I like A.D. Mitchell a lot. Obviously someone that started off his college career at Georgia, I believe was part of the 21 national championship team. Ends up transferring over to Texas, gets to play with, Quinn Ewers, obviously, and Xavier Worthy. Who's, Sarkisian. So kind of gets in an offense that's a little bit more opened up, obviously. You know, still features some running game, but are known for some downfield passes. And I think that he played real solid. Obviously, that was an offense where, man, you had to compete for touches to a certain extent when you look at the different weapons that they had available.
Jatavion Sanders too. Yeah, they had a lot of guys there. I think I'm interested to see how both Xavier Worthy and A.D. Mitchell turn out, just because I feel like they weren't even used that well at Texas, to be honest. A.D. Mitchell had like the third furthest depth of target in the nation, which to me is, you know, he's not really a deep threat, but it's just kind of what that offense calls for. They really rely heavily on that run game, and then they really try to hit deep explosive passes with their playmakers, like you were saying. Yeah, I to me, A.D. Mitchell, I think, is going to be the better pro. I just feel like he's a very intuitive player. He's a very natural player. Not everything's there. You know, there's certain aspects of his game. I think he could bulk up. His frame looks like he could bulk up too. Like he's tall, but he looks like he could add on a few pounds, similar to not as bad as Xavier Worthy, but Xavier Worthy is very slight.
Looks like all them Georgia receivers back on that 21 team, man. They're just like slender, yeah. You know, slender but lengthy. Yeah. Like, go up and get it. I mean, like George Pickens. I mean,
oh yeah,
kind of the same frame. I feel like
Pickens is bulking up now, though. I mean, if AD Mitchell can do anything similar to what Pickens has done lately with his frame, oh my God, that'd be amazing. And I just feel like having such a like good player. I really feel like pairing him with Keenan Allen would really make a lot of sense. You know, I don't think he's one of these players that will really complain too much for the ball, but I really feel like he could be the long-term solution for losing Keenan Allen, which will happen sooner rather than later. And, you know, he can just, you know, maybe pick up on some of the more difficult aspects of the game from such a veteran wide receiver. And I mean, you're pairing this guy, whoever comes in, they're going to draft a wide receiver, I'm almost certain, at some point in this draft. Whoever comes in is coming into like the ideal situation for a rookie wide receiver. He's going to get so many, just he's going to get forgotten about with DJ Moore and Keenan Allen. And I just feel like AD Mitchell would give him the time he needs to develop. And I think he's going to be a good player, really good player. And then for my second round pick that I got from the trade down, I drafted Leonard Taylor. I'm super high on Leonard Taylor.
Yeah, one of your favorite players, like, you know. I'm happy you could
grab. I know. He another guy where I thought for sure this time of the year he'd get round one talk. I was almost certain about it. Because I actually think he still could go in round one. I'm just, you know, doing it as the draft board is telling me. I think latest he's going is mid round two, like this pick. Absolute latest. But he's someone that, you know, I don't understand in a world where Kalijah Kancey goes, what was he, like 22nd pick overall?
Yeah.
I don't see a world where Leonard Taylor doesn't go in that same range. I mean, there were periods where he just didn't produce the same way, kind of in the same sense that Jervon Dexter did when he was at Florida. But overall, it's because they used him completely wrong. This dude is born to be a three tech. I know he's really big, and I think that's why the Miami staff was like big on him playing a one tech or, you know, being a space eater. And he's pretty good against the run too. He's not bad. But this dude can fly out of his stance, man. He could fly, absolutely fly to the quarterback. And he had, I think, a 25 or actually even like a 30% pressure rate at the three technique position when he played there. I mean, his advanced stats at that three technique position are ridiculous. To me, it's just a clear example of a college. This is how it is in college. A lot of people don't like to admit this, but with both offensive line and defensive line, they'll play you where they need you. Like, these guys are getting played where they're needed, not necessarily what's best for them. This dude's going to be a freak. And I feel very confident that he could be the three technique of the future.
Yeah. I mean, I would love that pick, honestly. I think that, I can see what you mean as far as him fitting that three tech. I think, you know, nevertheless, kind of my same feelings with Tavondre Sweat is continue to add elite interior defensive line prospects and bolster that, make it a surplus position. And, you know, worst case, if you end up with too many that you can't pay, you trade it and get some kind of compensation for whatever player you think is best to get out of there. You get a compensatory pick, somewhere along the line, worst case. So, yeah, I mean, I would definitely be more than down for that player that brings that Miami swagger. Would have been a past team with Tyreek Stevenson as well. Would be an interesting thing there.
Yeah, and I'm not a huge, like, in terms of a player that looks a little raw, you know, if he was coming from, like, Georgia or something that has, you know, proof that they can develop players, yeah, there's a little bit of a concern. But when you're coming from Mario Cristobal, I'm okay with it.
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you.
You know, not the biggest Mario Cristobal fan over
there. There's certainly some questions about how he manages the game. And that was really emphasized on how that Georgia Tech game this past year, which I was watching and really couldn't believe with my own eyes what I was watching, to be honest, when they blew that game. But If you don't know what I'm talking about, go ahead and just look up 2023 Miami Georgia Tech ending, and you'll see all you need to see.
Is it just me, or has Miami been the same team for like the past 7 years?
Yeah, I mean, it's almost kind of sad, you know. I mean, I feel like a lot of the SEC fan base is really like, I'm not gonna say pray, but really laugh at the Miami downfall, because they're really a threat regionally, and especially when they're holding in Florida recruits, they're a massive threat to college football nationally. And as like a Michigan fan, I guess that it doesn't really bother me too much as far as like the regionality of everything, which is being destroyed a little bit in college football. But yeah, I mean, I know some people love to laugh at the Miami downfall, but it almost kind of sucks, you know. I feel like those days of the swaggy, like Miami, those early 2000 Miami teams, where that was something else.
Some of the best ever. Yeah.
Most like, definitely.
It's really, they're literally in the same spot that USC was before hiring Lincoln Riley. Like they're just in like one of those, like they were a blue blood. Like I also hate like the debate in college football. What's a blue blood? You know, it's like, okay, how can we say, it's a little hard to say a team that, you know, hasn't even made the playoffs and since they've existed can be considered a blue blood. But, you know, mostly I'll say that towards Nebraska, but, yeah, overall, I think Miami, they just are waiting on that coach, man. It's a different game nowadays. Some programs are shrinking. Some programs are excelling.
Yeah.
It really takes – now there's really no building a program anymore, which kind of sucks. For, like, if you're not, like if you're a Washington fan, you got to be pissed right now. You know, there's no building a program. There's no really changing the tide. It's almost like all these teams are going to float in perpetuity wherever they're at.
Yeah. Yes and no. I mean, I think it's interesting.
Unless you got money.
Yeah. I think that, you know, it's like a spectrum, right? I mean, just like everything else where there's variability. I mean, you can go out and be Colorado and recruit six freshmen and fill the rest in with transfer portal guys, or, you know, still lean mostly on incoming freshmen like the majority of successful programs are doing. So, but it's a volatile time. I mean, even, you know, we talk about a lot of college football on this, so most of our listeners should know that we're just about as tapped in, if not maybe more, to say sadly, into the college game than we are at professional. There's supposed to be some massive noise with the April 15th spring transfer portal opening. I think it's going to blow some minds, at least for people that are really tapped into college football. So
moving on, round three, Reese, what do you got? You got two picks, don't you?
I do not. Actually, I do. Yes, I do.
Oh, okay.
I do have two. I do have.
Threw me for a curveball there.
Right. I do have the one that I picked up in the LA Rams trade, which will be the second third round pick. That's 19. But with round three, pick 11, center Zach Frazier from West Virginia.
Love it.
Yeah. I think there are some concerns with his game. Like, he has short arms. So. There's been some critiques about him being a little grabby, you know, maybe not someone that can be a one-on-one kind of guy. Just some question marks, not saying that he can't be that, but that's certainly where the concerns come in. But someone that can, I think, hold his own for the most part, certainly good in the run game. And I think that, honestly, you know, with the current state of the Bears center room, maybe he wouldn't start right away, but I think he would certainly have the potential to, honestly. I think that he does.
I think he would.
I think he has upside. I know some people would maybe say that, you know, cut out day one, he's not that guy. But I think he would be an instant upgrade, honestly. And I like his game. There's some decent centers, obviously. Jackson Powers Johnson is the center that has taken a lot of the attention, but, you know, you still have someone like Cedric Van Pran from Georgia. And I do think Zach Frazier is kind of in that tier two group as far as everyone that's not Jackson Powers Johnson.
Yeah.
So I think not only does it fill a need, you get a really quality player. And I think that, you know, with a draft where you have J.C. Latham and then add in someone like Zach Frazier, man, the offensive line to me is feeling so much better coming into this next season.
Yeah, I mean, Braxton Jones, J.C. Latham at guard, and then if he starts at guard, I should say, and then putting in Frazier and Tevin Jenkins and Darnell Wright, that's a top five offensive line straight out the gate. I mean, there's no other way around it. That would be amazing to put Caleb behind. Really like that pick. And the other thing I'll add before you move on, he's built. Frazier like resembles the type of centers that Ryan Poles and Matt Eberflus like. Like he is a little stockier.
Yeah.
And he's like a mauling center. Yeah. That's totally their type.
Yeah, for sure. This next one, and I don't know, you might be caught off guard by it, but I was pretty excited to have him here available. And I'll be really happy. I'm going to maybe give it away a little bit. But I really didn't want to have to force it to make a safety work in my mock draft. And I think this one worked out perfectly. I got Javon Bullard from Georgia.
Very nice. So very nice.
I think someone that, obviously a versatile player. He can go ahead and play free safety. Obviously that nickel position is occupied by Kyler Gordon in this defense. But he can also play nickel, so you can move him down in a dime package. Maybe in his rookie year, where you're relying on Byard to be that starting free safety. But I think certainly someone that, you know, stepping in for injury at free safety and also just learning behind Byard can really excel his game. Because there's someone, they don't play, they're not dissimilar in their play. I mean, I think Bullard likes to come downhill. He's not afraid to come up and play the run. He's not extremely sure tackle, but he's not afraid of the physicality. He'll come up and make a hit. And just had the opportunity to make some more plays over the past couple of seasons, especially this past season, to make a couple of interceptions that probably would have really elevated his draft stock. So there's certainly opportunity there for him to be a little bit more of a ball hawking guy. I like his short kind of burst, his quickness. You know, might not be a sideline to sideline guy or someone in like a cover one where you expect him to get to one side of the field from the other. But at the same time, I think has more than adequate enough speed, a little bit of a smaller frame, not the biggest guy. But I think he just plays football with a high IQ. And that's something, that and the versatility is something that Eberflus definitely values.
Yeah, smaller guy for sure. I think you're right with the quickness. If you need someone, you know, I don't know what he ended up timing in as 40-yard dash, but this dude can cover 15 yards as quick as anybody in this draft. Like any player in the draft. He has extremely good burst, and you can see it, especially, you know, around the line of scrimmage with his tackling, heavy hitter. He reminds me a good amount coming out as like Darnell Savage, which I know he didn't turn out well for Green Bay, but people forget though, when he was coming out of Maryland, he was really highly talked about. And I just think Darnell Savage was overall just overdrafted. I mean, he was in my book a third round pick or second round pick max when he was coming out. I think that Javon Bullard, if he's there, that's a home run hit. And then the other thing is he also has a versatility with nickel cornerback, which is huge. Really good pick up there.
Yeah. No.
All right.
Go ahead. But yeah, I think, I love that third round. And, you know, not afraid to draft defense still. I mean, I think not only is the best player available, but I think it's getting guys with great attributes as well. And even though you have a veteran in the room, like almost a little bit like, and I think maybe the Bears have picked him in the fourth or fifth round when they picked him up, like a Deion Bush. You know, it's like they had safety figured out, but at the same time, you still gotta go ahead and draft him.
Deion Bush, Miami.
Correct.
Right?
Yeah.
He was from Miami. Yeah. I remember they picked him and DeAndre Houston Carson in like back-to-back years, if I remember correctly. That's funny. I haven't heard that name in a while. someone that really never played. Like, I don't know.
But when he did, he was good, why, man. Like, he came out, like, ruddy, yeah. You know? He was ready to go.
Yeah. Yeah. Never played. And I think he went to, like, the Packers for, like, a year before. I don't know what he's doing now. All right, so I also have two round three picks. Round three, pick 11. You're going to love this one. Zach Zinter.
Yeah, I love that.
I really like his game. I you know, it sounds like overkill because we just took J.C. Latham and we already have Tevin Jenkins. Listen, I think that Nate Davis is, you know, he's going to be a backup like instantly in this, in my scenario, because I'm putting J.C. Latham at left guard, Tevin Jenkins at right guard. Zach Zinter is also, I made a mistake on last pod, primarily played right guard for the Wolverines.
Yeah, no,
I think that...
I felt so stupid.
Did you realize
that
too?
As soon as I like watched it back, and I was like, there's Trevor Keegan playing left and Zach Zinter playing right, and I was like...
Yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, primarily right guard. And here's the thing with the questions with Tevin. Will we get him under contract? Will we not? Does it make sense with his injury history? I just think it's good to add another guard. We're in the third round, okay? Zach Zinter on the board, to me, I mean, there are other players at the board ranked higher than him. He was by far the top player on the board, and it wasn't even remotely close. And, you know, a lot of this is going to do to his injury that he had, very unfortunately. Might not play at all this year. Who knows? But in this situation, we don't need that to be the case. And worst case scenario, like, let's just draft. It's okay to draft for depth. And if he turns out better, he turns out better. This general manager in this front office with the Bears is the first Bears front office that has ever drafted for depth and being okay with being like, okay, a third round pick can actually be a third round pick. I know we all hate the Packers. Packers have poured mid round picks into guard, and it's worked out for them extremely yeah. well. Their offensive line, they're losing guys left and right, and they're still a good unit yeah. overall. I mean, it's about time the Bears do that. So I'm okay with being a little bit rich there. You know, Nate Davis, I think, you know, maybe he turns out well. I don't know. I kind of feel like that was a miss by Ryan Poles. He'll be a good backup in this situation. And then my round three, pick 14, Cedric Van Pran. Again, nice. I think he's in the same spot as Zach Frazier. Definitely a different center, and I think that if both these guys are on the board, I think the Bears would prefer Frazier, to be completely honest. Even though, again, I think we talked about prospect fatigue a few times. Cedric Van Pran has been talked about as like the top center in this class for like 2 years at this point.
Yeah.
He's really been pretty noteworthy, and he's a great athlete. Not a mauler, not in the same way at least as Zach Frazier, but definitely a physically imposing player still. Really good measurables. And, you know, just plays that position at a high level. I mean, what else could you
like
want besides winning national championships?
You know, I feel like Van Pran is just like
yeah.
a player where it's like the floor and the ceiling seem like almost the same, but that's because the floor is incredibly high. So
yeah. Yeah. Frazier was not on my board at this pick.
Okay.
Van Pran is. I think they're viewed pretty similarly. I think, like, you know, guards always go a little bit later. Sorry, not guards. Centers always go a little bit later than people think. I absolutely am now buying into the hype that maybe Jackson Powers Johnson could be a first round pick potentially. I don't think maybe these guys will go in the later second round, but I really think late second, early third is what we're looking at, which is kind of where we found them. So overall, I like our third round for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, moving on to the fourth round, Austin, I didn't do any more movements. Let's actually make my last pick.
Oh, nice. I didn't do any more movements after this either, so this is my last round too.
Okay. Yeah, so pick 122, round four, pick 22. One of my favorite guys, Austin, that's not a Michigan player, obviously. Talked about him before. Also, here's a giveaway.
What side of the ball?
It's defense again.
okay.
Yeah, a little criminal. I did not draft a single wide receiver. I can't believe it, but that's how it worked out.
That's fine.
Yeah.
Okay, defense. I'm trying to think. Defensive line?
No.
Peyton Wilson.
Yeah, it was Peyton Wilson, NC State. Just a few concerns. I mean, injury history is an issue. It's kind of been like injured back towards high school, so that's never really a vote of confidence. But someone, I guess, just to focus on the cons first, you know, could say maybe he occasionally sidesteps, doesn't exactly go after blockers, tries to more so get around. But man, I mean, is there like a better, like, I can't think since, and of course this prospect didn't necessarily work out amazing either, but like Devin Bush from Michigan, is there like, to mm-hmm. me, I think like as far as athlete at linebacker, like Peyton Wilson has to be right up there towards the top. I mean, the man is insanely quick. I think as far as a coverage linebacker too, I don't know how much better they get. He can play man, he can play zone. You can blitz him on third down, so he's extremely versatile. And man, I mean, I know there's a lot of Sanborn fans out there, but yeah, you know, I like Peyton Wilson's game a little bit more.
Yeah, no, I think that'd be a great pick. I actually, early on when I was first doing my draft on one that I scrapped, I actually was picked Edgar and Cooper in the second round, which I was like, okay, maybe we don't need a second round linebacker this year. I had to rethink that a little bit, but yeah, I mean, him and Edgar and Cooper are my two favorite linebackers in this class. I think that he's probably, you know, I have literally no clue where he's going to go. I saw a mock draft today where he went to the Packers at 25th overall, which would kind of be hilarious and kind of be a typical Packers move. Yeah. 'Cause whenever they're in the late first round, they always draft a player that I just would never even possibly conceive could have won it in the first round. Like, Quay Walker, that was another one. So that'd be kind of hilarious because it'd be another inside line. How many first round picks are on that defense for how bad they are is like actually hilarious. Pretty much both their starting corners, last year Darnell Wright was their starting free safety was a first round pick. Quay Walker, and then pretty much everyone on the defensive line plus some depth players were first round picks. Just kind of hilarious there. And that defense was,
I do think for tough. Interior linebacker, I think Edgar and Cooper and I think Junior Carlson are probably the top two guys in my opinion. But Peyton Wilson's a little bit different. Like, I mean, I feel like those two, as far as Carlson and Cooper, are like much more like the physical gap fill guys. And like, don't get me wrong, Junior Carlson can definitely play coverage as well. Peyton Wilson's a little bit more like the, you might have to adapt your scheme a little bit. You know, not exactly your prototypical, but at the same time, he's just like a playmaker. And I know the ACC isn't like the most dominant conference, but every time I was watching him, the man was making plays. Like, he was just taking over the game from the defensive side of the ball.
Love to see dominance. You know, that's a big reason a lot of people are also big on Jerzon Newton. I mean, not many guys in this class were more dominant than him on a game-to-game basis, to be completely honest. Regardless of what you think of his physical attributes or whatever, just from a pure taking games over, Jerzon Newton was really, really good.
If the Bears end up trading down or something like that and they ended up with Jerzon Newton, I'd be over the moon. I'd be so excited.
Yeah.
So
I that's why I'm saying I really feel like a trade down and an interior defensive lineman would make a lot of sense. Like either Jerzon Newton or Byron Murphy. Oof. I'm just like, I'd prefer that than reach on an edge, to be completely honest.
That's fair. I mean, that's fair. I mean, we'll get into it, but like, not like there's much edge left in free agency, honestly. But just figure it out. That's how I feel. Yeah, I mean, you know, figure it out. Like, you can think of something.
Yeah. All right, for my two fourth-round picks, two guys that one guy that I think I'm higher on than the vast majority of people. You know, I'm also very high on Ben Sinnott. I'm very high on him, but I'm also very high on Eric All, and that's who I drafted.
Ooh. Might be a little high on Eric All, but I like it. I like it.
Yeah, you know, fourth round pick 20, I took Eric All. just in terms of like, he's can do everything. I think he's more of a pass catcher than like Kmet is, to be completely honest. Not by much. You know, I think he's still versatile there. I'm just a huge Eric Hall fan. Every time I watch him play, he sticks out to me. And in the fourth round, that's what I'm looking for. And then I'll give you my last one too. So round four, pick 22. This is a player. He's one of those players where you look at him and you're like, okay, the tape does not match the production, and the tape also doesn't match the hype. They're like, it kind of reminds me of Justin Ross. I think I said John Ross in the earlier portion of the vid. I was trying to say Justin Ross from Clemson.
Not the former 40-second dash.
Not him.
Holder.
No, I was trying to say John Ross got overdrafted. Justin Ross. This kind of reminds me of Jermaine Burton, where you're like, you watch the film and you're like, this isn't really adding up. But Jermaine Burton is the pick. I think that the one, after adding A.D. Mitchell, the one criticism you could probably have, outside Tyler Scott, this wide receiver room doesn't have a lot of guys that can take the top off. And I really feel like in a role, you could really carve out a role for Jermaine Burton where he's that fourth wide receiver, a la Josh Palmer for the Chargers. Obviously not same skill set, but like have that role,
Yeah. Jermaine Burton's a gamer, man. I just like the attitude that he plays the game with, Very much an in-your-face guy. He's going to let you know when he gets a first down, when he gets a touchdown. You're going to know when Jermaine Burton is doing something special. So I like the attitude that he brings to that. Eric All, I mean, you're talking about the two schools that if you want to mold a tight end, he went to, Michigan and then Iowa. I mean, that's about as good a lineage as you can get for a tight end. So, I mean, I like him too. I would say he's a little bit more a pass catcher, but he does not lack any physicality. Dealt with like a little bit of injury in 2022. So I don't think that's a major concern, though. I would be happy with both those picks. Sano, no, you wouldn't draft him. You would just bring up his name.
I'd draft him there.
So
I think
you had three fourth round picks?
No. Oh. I'm saying I would draft him, but I think that he's going to go higher than that. That's why I didn't draft him. I think, I was really big on him when he was like a fifth round pick. I was like, this dude's going to be a steal. Now I think he might even end up being like a late second, early third.
I'm curious how you...
Which I still like him.
At that point, if you had Sano on your team, would you keep... Because I'm pro fullback. I'm a pro fullback guy. Uh-huh. I love that style of game, physical nature. I think that the fullback position is a position I really respect. Would you still roster Kyrie Blasingame, though? Or would you keep Sano and then have him be like the fullback and then have him be like a tight end, your depth tight end as well in the offense?
I'd let it battle it out in camp. Okay. I think that he definitely could fill that role because he's kind of he's an athletic dude for sure. And he's the bigger thing is he's a little stockier too. So you kind of think that he could maybe fit that fullback role. I think that he's just someone that could do whatever you need him to do. I just think he's a playmaker. Really like the intent, like talking about Jermaine Burton, really like the intensity that Ben Sinnott also plays the game with. Very, very, very noticeable on a down-to-down basis. Moves different. Now, I'm not going to say he's, Brock Bowers, where you could see him move. I mean, Brock Bowers just moves unreal for a tight end. But, better than Cole Kmet. Better than a lot of NFL tight ends.
I hear you. I really like the tight end class for next year, too.
There's been some good tight end classes, man, lately.
Yeah.
It's weird because it's kind of a dying position, or that's how it was viewed for a while. But now I just feel like so many good tight end. Yeah. Now it's reemerging. Now it's like before when we were kind of just shifting to the West Coast, like overall general Andy Reid style West Coast, kind of before really Shanahan and McVay made their mark on the game. tight end was kind of not a, I don't want to say a dying art, but it was definitely shifting towards smaller wide receivers, quicker passing game, things like that. But man, now all the Shanahan schemes, you just cannot play that type of offense without a good tight end. You can't play Y cross without a good tight end.
No, exactly. Colston Loveland next year. I also really love the Ole Miss, Michigan actually has recruited his brother, Priestcorn, from Ole Miss. Yeah. If you haven't watched him much, dude, that man's a dog.
No, he's like, tight ends are good, man. They're getting good. They're getting really good. Maybe that's
your old guy Jackson Dart throwing darts to him.
Yeah. And we also had Michael Trigg that was also a tight end there.
Oh yeah.
But I know he got dismissed from the program or something like that. Which is unfortunate. Overall, man. I'm just gonna read off the offense. Here's the weakness in my mock draft. Just to talk very generally before we mention the few additional players that we're adding on. I know this is getting long, so we'll do it quickly. I think the biggest weakness of my draft. You know, you end up getting Leonard Taylor. You add that there. Other than that, though, not a lot of focus on the defense. That being said, though, I feel comfortable with just adding in who I think could be a pure good three technique that really I think would fit Matty Eberflus's defense. Again, we have a defensive head coach. I think that he should be able to pick up the slack there. Adding in, sprinkling in a few guys. My recommendation for the defense, add in a guy. I hate bringing up his name. I really hate bringing it up because a little bit like the way people bring up OBJ. Jadeveon Clowney, I think, would be a good addition. He had a kind of quiet career resurgence with the Ravens last year.
It was crazy. I was going to bring up his name, but I knew I could rely on you because you bring him up every offseason.
Yes, very true.
I was like, actually, hold up. I was like, I don't need to mention his name because I know Austin.
I think I brought up OBJ last offseason too, so you know where I'm at intellectually.
I hear you.
Yeah. I kind of have the I'm not going to say that. All right, keep going.
Yeah, I mean, if the Bears don't end up able to get Van Pran, or if they're not able to get Frazier, or one of our centers, I think, you know, maybe you explore Connor Williams. Maybe that's a thing. So I think he's someone's intriguing to me. Obviously, in my mock draft, the hole that I left there was still, like, additional depth at wide receiver. Obviously, DJ Moore, Keenan Allen are going to be your main guys. Tyler Scott's going to work into there somehow. I don't see him possibly being a cut candidate. So I think you're looking at, you know, wide receiver four, or maybe Tyler Scott's the four and you're picking up a wide receiver three. You know, Austin, looking at the remaining free agent class, I don't see anyone that really jumps out at me. I was like, hell, like maybe you sign like a Scotty Miller, like, you know, give me some guy that's like shifty. You know, Hunter Renfro's still out there. Maybe you make something happen with him. You know, another like QB friendly target. Or maybe you look to add some more size, too, because honestly, I think that, too, with Keenan Allen, he's more of your tactician, you know, route running guy. Maybe you look somewhere there, but I didn't see a great way to fill that. I didn't find a great way. I mean, you had Bob Jadeveon Clowney. Dude, I don't really know a great way to fill the edge either. I looked at it, and I was like, maybe you re-sign Rasheem Green. And if you're really feeling up to it, you re-sign Yannick Ngakoue. You know, I was like, bring back some players that are familiar with the system. But to me, man, adding to that interior defensive line still seemed more important, honestly. I think also to me, trying to get in Ryan Poles' brain, I don't see him, unless the value is right, I don't see him, you know, taking Olatu at 9. Or, you know, trading down and trying to make it something work with one of those other edge rushers available, you know. I mean, maybe he trades down and does take someone like Latu. Maybe, you know, we trade down to the mid-teens and take someone like Verse if he's there.
See, that would be a different story, though, completely. You know, like, drafting someone like a Verse at, like, a 17 is a different story than at 9.
100%. You know? Well, I told you, I said the only real edge I can justify taking them with Dallas Turner.
Yeah.
That's me personally.
Though. That's the only one you could. Maybe Verse. I mean, maybe. I would still feel like it was a reach at nine. Maybe. I would just feel like I know there's going to be, like, I think it's not only just taking the player, but also passing up on getting more picks from trading down, passing up on giving more help to Caleb. To be honest, I could see them just flat out drafting J.C. Latham at nine, to be completely honest. I know that'd be really high, really, really high for a guard if you view him that way in his first couple years, but he might be just one of those guys where you're like, I just cannot envision my team leaving the draft without a player of that caliber. I don't know, man. I think that Latham is really slept on. Hell, I got to be honest, man. If the Chargers don't trade out, I think there's a real, real possibility they might just take him at five.
It's possible.
I saw them working him out, doing the workout drills. Is Slater still playing at right tackle, or is he at left tackle now?
I don't know the details on that. There's a chance they go wide receiver, but knowing Harbaugh, they're gonna make that offensive line elite before they touch anything else.
Yeah, and those comments too. I don't know, man. I could just see, and also with the way Harbaugh played and Greg Roman's scheme. I mean, Latham's like a perfect fit for that. I think we're gonna look so stupid when the draft comes around. We're picking him at 15 and 22, and he's got picked at five. I mean, I could straight up just see that, and I wouldn't question it, man. I think that, you know, for other schemes, he is a right tackle. Maybe not for the Bears scheme, but or he could even be a left tackle. I don't know, man. It's gonna be interesting to see. The other player I'll mention briefly, someone that you and I liked really. I mean, we loved him in college, and we liked him early in his career. Dory as Jackson. Well. Play him at wide receiver like they did it.
Yeah.
No, Michael Gallup, he was cut, so he's always injured now, though. It makes it a little difficult.
I would have loved, like, 3 years ago, I would have been jumping up and down.
Yeah. He can take the top off of defense, though. And that's like
a healthy Michael Gallup, man. I like his game. I've always been a fan of Gallup. Not going to lie. For whatever weird reason, man, I get attached to these Cowboy players that either get hurt or move on somewhat soon after. Like, you know, big Tony Pollard guy.
Yeah.
But
oh, yeah. Tony Pollard was someone who, I got to be honest, when he was in college, I was not a huge fan of him. But then once he got to the NFL, he really settled down. Because I remember in college when he was at Memphis, because he was there with, the running back the Rams drafted, Darnell. He was there with Anthony Miller at wide receiver, and he was there with Darnell something at running back too. Okay. And they used Pollard kind of in like a very, very hybrid running back, so like almost a borderline wide receiver. And I just wasn't a huge fan of it. And then he comes to the NFL, all of a sudden he's a god at running back for a few years with Zeke. You know, I know this past year wasn't great for him, but
it was not, but yeah, man.
All right, well, I think we can go ahead and kill it then. Overall, I like both of these. If any of our hit rate follows us from previous drafts, you know, maybe J.C. Latham is that guy. Man, I'm excited. Yeah. I'm more now that we know Caleb. I'm excited about this nine pick.
Absolutely. Yeah, I will not. I won't be disappointed if they end up picking at it. I know that we both traded. That being said, fire away and take a player. I said that before on previous podcasts that I wouldn't be upset if they do take a player at nine. It's going to be an interesting draft. A lot of great players. You know, I hope some of my Michigan guys find good places. And I hope McCarthy falls to the right spot, doesn't get put in a bad situation. So we'll see, man. This is what happens when you care too much about college and you got to worry about where they go in the pros.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. But that being said, I do think that because we care about college, I do think that every time draft season rolls around, where people are just getting accustomed to a lot of these guys. These are guys that we've known for multiple years on end already and got to see, you know, their trajectory. Because normally, I mean, this is going to sound bad, but normally the trajectory you see recruits take from high school through college is the same trajectory they take through the NFL. Like, these guys that were really high-ranking recruits, but kind of had disappointing colleges, don't tend, like, even if they're great athletes, don't tend to really be that guy at the next level.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's a great point. Definitely. I mean, if it was a priority to get them on the field in college, there's generally a reason why, you know, especially if they were a fresh recruit or just like a sophomore. So we'll see. And, you know, the transfer portal has changed some of that. In some ways, it's made it easier to evaluate some of these guys, the fact that they can fit into more schemes and all that. And I think part of that was even like, I was like, you know what? Maybe would have slandered Bo Nix beforehand, but I think he's got some potential. You know, you watch him from the games that he's playing at Auburn against Justin Herbert, and you're like, where in the space-time continuum am I right now watching this unfold to the point where he's playing up until this past season? But it's a crazy different world, but you know, for some players it makes it tougher, but for some it definitely simplifies the process, as well as trying to form a determination of how you think they'll project, because that's also what those mock drafts are too. Like, you know, if we just pick the best college players, players that have the best seasons, especially statistically, none of these mock drafts would look like they do. So, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I got a comp for you for Bo Nix. I've really been struggling with, it's not a perfect one.
Yeah.
It's not a perfect one, but I've really been struggling with a Bo Nix comp just because I think he's a unique player. But I think at the NFL level, I think his play will be similar. I think he'll get maybe even similar career results. Derek Carr.
That's an interesting one. A little more mobile, right? A little more mobile.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely more mobile for sure. But in terms of the way he drives the ball down the field, like, he can't. Bo Nix is, I mean, I would argue he can't make every pass. I think but what he's really good at is driving the ball down the field. And he does it at a pretty high rate of accuracy for the most part, depending on the throw. That's just what he reminds me of a little bit. I think he'll have a similar career too. Like, you know, some of these high second round guys go on to make pretty good careers for themselves, like Jimmy Garoppolo and Derek Carr.
Last question here, because I've been following some of the draft process, and I was watching a video with, and we'll wrap it up after this, with Joel Klatt and Daniel Jeremiah. And he gave a real interesting thought at the end. And this is totally a non-Bears thing. If you were the Miami Dolphins right now, would you keep Tua or would you take Penix? Who would you prefer out of those two players?
I love that they're both left-handed. Right? This franchise can only draft left-handed quarterbacks. That's actually a really good question, because when I think about it, I think about Penix at the college level. This is going to sound bad, but I think of him similar to Tua at the pro level. Like, they're productive. They're really, really productive. I mean, even Tua is productive, man. You can't argue that. I think Penix has a bigger and more live arm than
more
Tua.
More zip, for sure.
And Tua has better anticipation, I would say. Dude, if I was the Dolphins, I would have called about Justin Fields. Maybe they did. Maybe that's why they... that was one of the teams...
I don't think so, man.
The only reason why I bring that up is because they were talking... Ryan Poles was saying that, like, there are some teams that reach out that have guys that are paid... And, like, I don't know. But in terms of, I think that this brings into question, like, contract. What contract is Tua under? He's extended, right?
I think so.
He had to have been. If Herbert was extended, he had to have been extended. Not sure, that they're draft, even in the same tier of quarterback, but they're in the same draft. I don't know. I might say fuck it and draft Penix and get the rookie deal.
Yeah.
I actually would prefer Bo Nix, to be completely honest. That's a controversial thing.
That'd be an interesting fit in that offense. That'd be an interesting fit. Yeah. I don't know.
I mean, Bo Nix doesn't got everything, but he can drive that ball downfield, man, when he needs to. I mean, he does it at a pretty high rate. I also will just completely admit,
you know, with a waddle, you know, he could drive that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Dude, I think I could throw these digs to Waddle. It's Tyreek Hill. Literally, when I watch these two wide receivers, I wonder how it is physically possible in football where you line up a DB a foot in front of you to have 15 feet of separation on every
throw.
They're
a lead tight end away from... Man, would that be a place for Brock Bowers to go? Holy shit.
Oh, my God.
I don't know how you defend that at that point.
That'd be sick. That'd be sick for sure. You know they're just going to feast in a McDaniels offense, too.
Sheesh.
Oh, I mean, it's not going to happen, but I love JJ in that offense. It's not going to. JJ's going to. People are saying he's going to go, too. I mean, to be honest, though, we were saying very similar things about and not a good pro comp or anything like that, but Zach Wilson like kind of ended the season in a, you know, just, you know, kind of being that fourth quarterback, or even Trey Lance, like kind of two similar guys, and then they just both went above Fields. I could see JJ going too.
I think the Vikings could give him at 11. I don't even think they'd have.
Really?
I think so. But I think he'll be a first round quarterback. I don't know if it's a first really is a top 10. And maybe it's me projecting that I don't want him to go to a shit team like the Commanders.
I have to be honest, the more I watch Jaden Daniels, I try to see it. I just don't see it, man. Like, I don't see it. I'll be honest. I've been a little bit of a Jaden Daniels hater through college, I will admit. But to me, he's more in the tier. It's going to sound real bad. More in the tier of, like, a Michael Penix and a Bo Nix than he is with, like, a Caleb Williams. I think it's Caleb Williams, second tier, Drake May, JJ. Third tier is probably Jaden Daniels by himself. Fourth tier, Bo Nix and Michael Penix.
I think, and I'll leave it at this on Jaden Daniels, there's a lot of volume in that offense, but he had some very good weapons.
Yep. You can't look like a Looney Tunes character every time you get hit. That's the other thing. The dude gets obliterated.
They'll tell you he improved on not getting it. Like, yeah. Those are some, like,
he gets the
half dive over piles. And then, yeah. Of course, there's the Ole Miss hit where he just got driven. Was it Ole Miss or Auburn where he just got driven into a different dimension?
I think it was Ole Miss. He literally, like, like the sound effects from a cartoon would happen. Dude, and this is the other thing. I've actually spent a lot more time recently looking at... I'm a Brian Thompson fan, but I wanted to really dive into, on a snap-to-snap basis, the routes he was running. I was shocked by how many poorly placed balls he was receiving from J.J. McCarthy from a clean pocket. Not J.J. McCarthy. Jaden Daniels.
Yeah.
Brian Thomas. From a clean pocket.
Man, that man makes some ridiculous catches, though. Honestly, I think he's more impressive on the jump
catch
balls.
Catch things at his legs.
He's more impressive on the jump balls, I think, than Roma Dunze. So.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. He's a stud, man. The only thing that scares me a little bit is... this is just total, just like... clearly just bias of, and like it's not going to turn out like this for him. I just get worried because he reminds me a little bit of Chase Claypool in the way he plays the game. But that being said, I think that he's a completely different player. I don't think that's a comp for him, but certain things he does, like he does the same thing Claypool does where he will jump as high as possible and catch the ball at his waist.
Like, that was always things a like funny that. Part of Claypool's game for sure. It's like you could have just caught that with your hands like at the helmet.
He
level,
does the same thing, man.
All good.
He does the same exact thing. And maybe it's just because the quarterback, he's like, okay, this ball would be properly placed above the DB, but yeah. So I'm going to jump anticipating that that's where it will. I don't know. Overall, just I'm throwing off the DB. I'm a like, huge Brian Thomas fan.
DB's going to put the hands in his face. Yeah. He's like, he's going to want to go up. I'm going to catch it right in my hip pocket.
Yeah.
You know, I'll figure out where the feet go later. So.
Yeah. The other thing that scares me about Brian Thomas is just playing with neighbors who's just, I mean, this is how I know I'm not super biased, because in the beginning of the season, before when neighbors was coming in, I was like, you know, I liked him. I didn't think he was in the same category as Marvin Harrison Jr. Now, I do think Marvin Harrison Jr. is better, but I may even argue they're in the same tier in this draft. I'm a huge Neighbors fan.
No, the gap isn't huge. Yeah, he's wide receiver too, but the gap is not what it was made out to be. Where at least it was like Marvin Harrison God tier, then very solid afterwards. But
I think he's closer to Marvin Harrison Jr. Neighbors is closer to Marvin Harrison Jr. than he is to Odunze.
Oh, without a doubt. So, but hey, it's going to be very exciting. We're still going to have some more build up to get through after this pod comes out. You know, let us know your thoughts. Leave us a rating and a review. Maybe let us know who you're looking at in your own mock drafts. So we'll be excited to hear it. Anything else, Austin?
After this last draft, I don't think we hit anyone in this previous draft. We had a pretty good record going on for hitting on players.
I think we each had
Rojo drafts.
We each had Roshan, I think.
Oh, we did. We did. You're right. Okay.
And
yeah,
like, honestly,
my ego is way bigger.
Mildly
now,
disappointed in that pick. So.
Yeah, didn't turn out the way that we expected that to be, for sure. But other than that, man, everyone enjoy the lead up to the draft. It gets kind of boring around this time of the year. There's no more information. Most of the information you see is all misinformation. We're kind of hitting a dead period before the draft, so hang on, and we'll be there covering it for you guys.
Yep, absolutely. Bear down.
Bear down. Gotta give this one for my buddy Eddie O.
Go Tigers!